What's the name of our show again?
It's Corrupted Data.
Welcome to Corrupted Data. Thanks. I'll try that again because you were talking over me. Welcome to Corrupted Data. I'm Kiwi. With me, as always, are my wonderful friends, Sean and Sebastian.
Hello.
Hey there. I'm glad that you opened. You couldn't even remember the name of our show.
That's fine. It's only been, what, six three weeks? Yet. It's fine.
Three. That's also not technically a cold open, but whatever.
Listen, I don't even care anymore. I'm home. I'm full of food.
It's only a cold open if I let it, if I put the opening in from just after the clap sync.
He's just not good at cracking open a cold one.
With the boys?
With the boys. Maybe he's better with milkshakes. We don't know.
I do have leftover milkshake, which is disgusting.
Oh, God, how? That is totally a crust how? Punk band how? Name.
Your leftover milkshake? God damn it. How does one ever... I don't think I've ever... Now, I'm a fat kid. But I don't think I've ever had leftover milkshake. I didn't know that was possible.
So after you have a certain amount of the milkshake, and it is no longer cold, or in fact a milkshake, but rather like... the essence of a milkshake melted into a slurry?
You know what you do at that point, right? You throw it out like a normal person.
Yeah. I hear where you're coming from, but that's not what happened.
I realize this. That's why I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I agree with you 100%. Hindsight's a bitch, and I just... There are lots of regrets in my life. This is one of them.
Did you try to eat the leftover milkshake?
Oh, God, no. I'm not a fucking animal.
But you created the leftover milkshake.
But it is here in my room as we speak.
Oh. I thought
somebody... How long has it been there?
What day is today?
Oh, God.
It's Tuesday.
So it's been here for a day.
Okay. 24-hour milkshake.
24 hours, yes.
Yes, I can't speak sometimes, and that's okay.
I wish.
That's why I'm doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So, video games.
Video games. What have you been playing, Kiwi?
I have been playing this wonderful gem of a game that is currently... I think it's... Epic Games exclusive at the moment?
As with everything?
No, I don't want to run it. What are you doing? it's called Satisfactory. And
yes, that is an exclusive, and I it's from the same makers that did Subnautica, wasn't it? Or no, what was the last game they did? What they had previously done?
Coffee Stain Studios. Mm-hmm. Goat Simulator.
Goat Simulator, that's it.
Goat Simulator. I've never played it. And
Sanctum.
Yes, so Goat Simulator was very much a how much chaos can you create?
Yes.
And this is very much the opposite. The goal of Satisfactory is to essentially automate yourself out of the game.
Yes. While on a hostile planet.
Yes, well, yeah, it's a space exploration. Well, it's a...
Planetary exploration.
It's a planetary exploration game that you eventually just work your way out of.
Yep.
How have you been enjoying it? You are
dropped on an uncharted planet, and you are given very vague orders from some shadowy corporation. And you are then instructed that you are to build up infrastructure and efficiently... source the planet for resources to pass back to the corporation via a giant space elevator, which you also must build.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of stupid in the game to still, you know, enjoy, like running around trying to not die because everything wants to eat your face, including these really adorable lightning bug creatures that just pop out of like these plants.
Oh, so you actually control a player character.
You do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It is a first person, but you have legs view.
Yes.
Yes. It's my favorite kind of view because I hate looking down and not seeing anything.
Who was the first to do that? Wasn't that like Half-Life?
I think it was Doom 3.
Is it Doom 3? It might I just remember been. That being a big deal.
Mm-hmm. It's good, though, because it's the world view and sort of scope of games like No Man's Sky, where everything is sort of really pretty. No survival as far as, like, food and water, but mm-hmm. survival as far as, like, hostile creatures try to eat you. And then there's the factory building of Fallout 4 add-on, which is nice, but, like, better. And customizable, you know, buildings and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun, and it's multiplayer, and you can build as large and as wide scope as possible on the entire planet's surface.
Now, my first question with the it's multiplayer. How many players max? Is it a max 4?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I know it's at least 4.
It's at least 4.
Which means there's plenty of opportunities for doing absolutely stupid shit with 3 of your, we'll call them friends.
People you've conned into buying a video game to play it with you because yeah. you enjoy it.
Also that.
I'm doing that wrong, because when I want people to play a video game with me, I just buy them the video game.
It's true.
There's literally no excuses. Kiwi, did I give you a copy of American Truck Simulator?
You didn't.
No.
And I wish you wouldn't.
I wish. prepare to be disappointed.
I'm always disappointed.
You know, I used to actually talk a lot of crap about those games, and I would have been like, how could that possibly be any fun? And then I totally got put in my place by this one guy from Australia. He's like, dude, I do get nothing but constant seizures where I cannot have a driver's license. I can't ever drive. And so I play American Truck Simulator because I can go and do something I can never do in real life. Mm-hmm. He can never drive that truck.
That's kind of one of those things you do in video games. I mean, I was a truck driver. I used to drive professionally. Mm. And I can't describe why or how, but Euro Truck Simulator, American Truck Simulator, Elite Dangerous to a point, if you're doing like the transport missions, it's oddly relaxing and satisfying to just like hop in your virtual truck, either in VR or not in VR, and just put on a podcast or put a YouTube video on in the background and just fucking drive. Just drive back and forth, deliver stuff, make virtual money. If I could figure out how to do that professionally, I would. I mean, I was that American Truck Simulator was one of my top watched streams, like for my Twitch channel. That was like one of my most popular games for a while. And I think the thing is, I can play the game and enjoy it, but it's not like super frenetic as far as like just being like, it needs all of my attention right now the whole time. So I can be super interactive and, you know, hopefully more entertaining with a lot of my viewers. Like I can be more involved with talking to them and responding to them and stuff like that. And I think that may be why that was one of my more popular games when I was streaming.
I mean, I've watched you stream that game in particular, and mm-hmm. Maybe you don't realize this, but you're more enjoyable when your attention is split over 3 different things that you're doing mediocre with.
Yeah.
So you driving kind of half-assedly and talking to people half-assedly and mm-hmm. like eating soup or whatever the hell else you're doing at that time. It's very funny. Very, very funny.
He says the way you eat soup is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I end up wearing half of it because I have a beard.
Oh.
When I didn't have a beard, I never spilled any on me.
Yeah.
But now that I have a beard, somehow it just all ends up in my face.
That's part of my problem with having a beard and being a carnivore and having a pescatarian partner.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you're covered in meat juice. Don't come near me. It's all in your beard. And I'm like, I'm saving it for later. What are you talking about?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's actually one of the reasons I don't eat on stream if I can ever help it, because I'm actually kind of self-conscious about eating in front of people and getting shit in my beard, because there's nothing I can do about it. It just fucking happens. I don't know how to describe that to people. It's just it's like a universal constant. E equals MC square. If you eat anything, you're going to get crumbs and shit in your beard. It's just the way it goes.
I hope you don't get shit in your beard. Oh, what the fuck are you eating?
To my knowledge, I've never gotten shit in my beard.
How are you shitting in the toilet is the question about shit in the beard.
I may have read the instructions wrong.
Shit in the toilet backwards and upside down.
I was making an ass-eating reference. I don't know about what you were talking about.
All I imagine is him upside down with his ass in the air trying to land a turd into a toilet.
It's more efficient if you just do a handstand in the shower afterwards.
Because...
I just imagine someone like in the bathroom, and I just hear plunk, Kobe. what? I don't want to know.
How did we get here?
To get back to what we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
Sebastian, you were saying that people who like couldn't do it in real life, and so they would do it in a game.
Yeah,
I think that's where a lot of furry porn comes from too.
Oh, let's not. let's please not. Anyway, no. Well, I mean, in a similar fashion. So, I brought up Elite Dangerous, which very much can be space combat sim, space trading sim. There's very much like space road trucking in that, where you can just go from system to system and take missions and buy materials and go to other systems and sell those materials and hand in missions. And it's kind of the same thing, that and exploring. Like, literally, I was in Elite Dangerous earlier. They just dropped a really big update today. And it's a lot of it is centered around making the game a little more accessible for people just starting out. Because it is a really awesome game. It is a really visually stunning game. It is a very in-depth game once you know what you're looking at, what you're looking for. But and I've said this before, the learning curve is a cliff. So, yeah. They've overhauled all of the UIs. They've added two new modules. The auto dock module was already there, but now there's an advanced super cruise computer, which is the sublight in system cruising. And then they added a auto launch module, so you can have the ship automatically dock at a station, launch from a station, and will help assist you in super cruise. Because one of the things that happens is if you don't get the timing just right, you can shoot straight by what you're trying to get, what direction you're trying to get to. So you end up having to do what's called the loop of shame. You have to come back around and try again.
Shame.
I've done a lot of shameful looping in that game.
Everybody has. And then one of the other things they did is for new players, the new players automatically get the advanced docking computer, which does the auto docking and the auto launch immediately is the first ship they get. I think it may even be every ship they buy. You can always sell it off or remove it from the ship if you don't want it, but I think it gets added automatically. And they start out in basically their own instance that they don't end up leaving until they've hit elite rank in any one of those. You can have elite combat, elite trading, or elite exploration. You can decide to leave that new player only bubble, but once you do, you can't go back. So I was in the game a little earlier messing around with some things, and it's looking promising.
The auto docking on new players, though, it seems, I don't know how I feel about that. Only because I feel like it was part of the experience to be kind of like, to at least struggle with it long enough to become really annoyed to be like, where's my auto docker?
Well, like, I mean, here's the thing. I played a lot of that game without the auto dock, and I can dock without it. I have docked without it. I bought a new ship the other night. I was doing some trading missions and I needed a bigger ship. So I bought a Type 6 transporter and added a bunch of cargo to it. And I bought the ship, I outfitted everything, and I completely forgot to add the auto dock module. Now, this is where the trick was. I got to the station I was going to, and then I was like, why am I not, I didn't buy the shit. So yeah. I had to go and dock myself. And I can still do it, but it's just one of those things where I do it so often that like I can always choose to take over and just dock myself. Having the auto dock module does not mean you cannot dock yourself. It just means that if you don't want to, you throttle back and it'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's silly to me that you would ever have someone have the option to auto dock and choose not to.
I mean, depending on what I want to do and how involved in the game I want to be. Yeah, I could see that.
I just mean from a perspective of someone who like is also on the same space station as you. Mm-hmm. Why on earth would you ever have people docking manually on your space station? If you have an auto dock and you have a computer that does this and it'll stop people from crashing into your goddamn space station, just make it mandatory.
That's actually probably how real life would end up working. I'm like, okay, oh, yeah. no more manual docking. This is bullshit.
Absolutely. Oh, I don't know how many times this happened the other night. One of our friends was going to land in a ship. He was either landing or taking off. I don't remember which, but he hit the wrong button and boosted.
God damn it.
I almost slammed straight into the wall. Yeah, it was just.
I've slammed straight into that wall. No, I've just went bang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I've been playing a lot of Elite Dangerous. What have you guys been playing?
Well, Kiwi went over Satisfactory. I've been putting in an extra 30 hours onto Monster Hunter World. I'm actually looking at my total count. I've put 139 hours into this game since it launched on PC.
Wow.
It's for somebody that's hard to hold attention on certain things and to like finish games, that's a lot. And there's still like so much for me to do. I still feel like I'm a complete noob and I've put that much time into this game. Like it's unreal. Talking about like, you know, we talked a lot about games. We talked about a lot about how poorly developers have been and publishers have been handling it. I think Capcom has gotten it right here. Like, very, very honestly. what they've done is that they've created a game that at full price was a great game and would satisfy anyone for the hours spent for the $60 you've exchanged. And then has just spent the next year adding new content, adding new monsters, adding for you to fight, doing crossover events that you can go and get special gear for that changes the meta of who's using what and what's going on. They got rotating events going on. Adding more and more and more and more content, which most people would be like, well, if you want to fight this monster, you're going to buy this $5 DLC or you're going to have the season pass to unlock all these things. No, they're just like, forget that. We're going to put out content after content after content for over a year. Mm-hmm. And then now, it's going to be almost 2 years, and then they're going to have a whole new expansion with a whole new layer and level of content, and they're going to still keep pushing out free content. And I think that's really what's been amazing. And that's just talking about their content strategy. I haven't even talked about what's fun about the game yet.
Ooh. Do tell.
I mean, you fight big monsters, you have crazy weapons. It's kind of hard to really explain if you've never played it before. You can go really in depth with it in terms of like, okay, I've got my gear and my loadout. I know I'm fighting this monster, so I got to bring my X elemental weapon. And, like, I gotta make sure I gotta have these items. And then you're interacting with the environment. You're like, okay, look, if I lure the monster over here, I can trap him. And, you know, it gives me an X amount of time while he's trying to get out where I could just do free damage on him. And you're working with other people. And you're like, you're jumping on top of the monster. And you're like, you're smacking him in the head. You're like, you're moving around. You're moving across these deep, dense, lush environments that are just, like, really well interconnected. You've got, you know, you could be out there and you'd be fighting a monster and all of a sudden another monster from in the locale will come crashing in and then they'll be like, hey, I don't like you, other monster. And then all of a sudden you've got two of those monsters fighting and you're like trying to like dodge around and like not get smacked by both the monsters fighting each other. I don't know. It's just kind of an experience you really have to pick up. I can't really recommend it more. It's been handled well by the developers. The PC port was awesome. They did a really great job with it. And Man, with me and my ADHD brain, I told you I put 139 hours into the damn game over the last year or so. So
yeah,
that's all. That's saying something.
Yeah, I'm looking at. I'm actually looking at all the DLC for it now. There's a bunch of free DLC. Now I'm looking at the. I'm looking at the free game. Well, the Games Pass version. So if you have an Xbox Games Pass, the $10 a month subscription, you can actually play it for free. There's a handful of free DLC, and then there's a bunch that's $2.99. There's a deluxe kit for $15, but that looks like a lot of gear and stuff. There is some paid. Yeah, there is some paid DLC.
The Steam store has, if you get all the DLC, is $129.59.
Yeah.
But that includes the soundtrack, the deluxe kit, all of the gestures and stickers and hairstyles and all the stuff for that.
It's all stuff that I haven't even needed. I haven't bought.
Oh yeah, a lot of it looks pretty much like. Let's see. There's a character. What is a character edit voucher? I guess you can
recreate your character. Yeah, you go back to the character editor when you first started. I mean, you could edit your appearance to a degree at any time. But yeah, but there's also a ton of free stuff there too.
Yeah.
They also just released an HD textures pack for free. They added 30 gigs to the game, but because textures are huge.
Well, that's the way that goes.
And they have a bunch of like Capcom sticker sets, so like Mega Man, Devil May Cry, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all cosmetic shit. I'm cool with microtransactions. I don't hate them. I just hate when they're money grabby.
When they're done well, like, okay, this is all, obviously, 90% of this, at least, is all, you know, what's it called?
Cosmetic.
Cosmetic, yes, thank you. And that's fine, because if there's one thing I really want for my character, I'll go and I'll spend the $2. But as long as it's not a requirement, I have to buy this microtransactions thing, because... I need it to beat this boss, or I need it to, you know, Payday 2 had a problem for a while where you would get cosmetics in these safes, but you had to pay for a drill to be able to open the safe. And they finally did away with that, luckily. But that was just, it was just annoying, because it's like, hey, I've got this free thing, but I can't fucking do anything with it because it's not free. I have to pay money for the other,
free content.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny? As I told you how many hours I put in this game, I still don't know how to use stickers or gestures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to use the stuff if I bought it.
Yeah. Oh, I did check, because I have Games Pass, and you had mentioned, hey, this is coming up. And I know the plan eventually is all their new release games will be released on Xbox and PC. So if you pay for... a Games Pass, like what they did with Sea of Thieves and what they did with Crackdown 3, and I think Gears of War 4. I don't remember if that's the case, but those two specifically, you can install them on your PC or you can install them on your Xbox. That did not happen with that, but this is probably because that Monster Hunter World was out for a year previously.
Yeah, there's definitely a lag between the content. So the PC version is behind. I think it was like January to September was the gap for Monster Hunter World being released both on console and then on PC.
Mhm.
I don't know, you should pick it up though.
I'll try it out on Xbox because I have the Games Pass, and then I'll see if I want to buy it for PC. Cuz what's the PC cost right now? Just the game itself.
$60.
Yeah, it's still full price.
I mean, it's still a full price over a year later, and there hasn't been
sales. And that's the case with a lot of games. But I mean, the nice thing is, I'm paying $10 a month for all these other games. I have the opportunity to try it on a different system, but that'll get me, you know, the distance of I want to try this game. Like, that's one of the things I'm actually liking about the Games Pass. Actually, is there are games that I've looked at before that I'm like, I that looks really cool. Like, I want to play it, but you never know if, like, there might be something, like, just something about the gameplay or the controls or whatever just pisses you off, and then you're like, ah, I just wasted $60 and I'm never going to play this again. This is definitely a good way, because they're releasing so many games. Like, I would never We were talking about simulators earlier. I would never intentionally buy Farming Simulator 17. It is on Games Pass. I might actually try it. You know, just because I'm not losing anything. So, but yeah, actually, I was just looking at the games. One of my favorite games is on there. Prey, the new one, the remake.
I enjoyed that for a bit. I uninstalled it because I think I got distracted, and then I was away from it long enough where it was like it was daunting to try to pick it up mid game again.
Yeah,
but I had a lot of fun with it, and a lot of people said a lot of good things.
I beat that two different ways on stream, and I wanted to go back. I started going back, and I need to restart this. When I get back heavy back into streaming again, I want to do a full playthrough of it. And the way that works is you're on a space station, and there is an alien infection, and you know there's a whole story behind it. But basically, what it comes down to is they were reverse engineering and experimenting on these aliens. And they've developed alien biotech that it's kind of like BioShock in space is really what it comes down to. You can find certain items and basically inject yourself and give yourself the ability to get some of these alien powers. You can do that. And I think there's like one, maybe two levels that you absolutely have to take. But I want to do a more human than human run, which is literally all of the upgrades I go through are just all human ones. Because there are upsides and downsides. There are automated turrets that will scan you for alien DNA. And if you get to a certain saturation point, they just see you as an alien. So those turrets that can help you against the hostile aliens eventually just become more hostiles.
Right.
So, it's one of those things I was thinking about doing. I love that game. I will play through it probably a few more times. There is a VR. There was the moon crash. There's a VR add-on for it that... it's basically like VR hide and seek, but because some of the aliens can like shapeshift into stuff, I need to actually go and try it out. I don't know a whole lot about that particular game mode, but I'm excited.
There's another consequence to taking the alien DNA, not only just the turrets, but if you get up to a high enough level, I think it's like over like two separate powers.
Mm-hmm.
You get there's like the monster that starts hunting you down, or an alien. It starts chasing you around. So, like, not only are you trying to fight the baddies, but then you got you got something else that's like,
I think I know what you're talking about. That is scripted. That is not part of, like, that may have been
really
coincidental. Yeah, that is scripted depending on certain levels and chapters.
Well, okay. Like
basically, yeah.
Because when I was reading, I was reading over several places people were talking about taking too much of that being one of the consequences. Maybe it's all the time instead of just certain scripted levels.
Possibly, but I went pretty deep on my one playthrough, and it's like the Goliath, like the giant, like the really big one, right? Yeah, I actually managed to kill that.
I watched you do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Many humans died in that fight.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
A lot, yeah, huh?
You lured him over to that little survivor base, and then everyone died.
Yes.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. I was not playing. I was deep into the alien DNA stuff. I just need to get off this fucking station.
Oh God. Yeah, I've never played it. The only experience I have is watching you and a couple of other people play it. But
yeah,
it's fun to watch. People suck at video games sometimes, and that's a very difficult game for some people, and it was fun as hell.
Yeah. I've enjoyed watching like playthroughs of it. Like it's easily one of my favorite games now.
But going back to free DLC content, Overwatch is putting out a new game mode with the next season coming out.
Okay.
So I'm just, you know, I'm really pleased with the fact that, you know, Blizzard is putting out free content for this game. I mean, obviously they've monetized the shit out of it. Overwatch League, all of the, you know, licensed merch, all this other stuff. So they're making money hand over fist.
You can buy loot boxes.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, right? Yeah.
But like just the fact that they're not charging people for like new game modes or, you know, the way that Fortnite does like the buy season passes for all the seasons and shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite pleased with the fact that Blizzard has stuck to single purchase on Overwatch.
Yeah.
And just continue to support the community by just releasing new shit and new characters.
I mean, they're getting their money back. The people that do buy the loot boxes, that pays them. And then, like you said, they're getting revenue from, you know, all of the esports and stuff. Actually, I think partially because of Overwatch, if not almost like Overwatch, League of Legends, some of, you know, Smite, some of the bigger ones, Philadelphia is getting their own esports arena.
Nice.
I heard about that actually. Yeah.
And I'm not super far away from there. When that opens, and I'm sure that's going to be like a multi-year project, because they just like proposed it, so it's going to be at least probably a year or two for construction and all that stuff. But I'm not really big into watching esports, but I'll tell you, I would probably go down and check out at least, you know, one event just to see what it is.
Sure.
I would. I mean, I wish I was playing League still. I'm not allowed to play League anymore. I had to quit it. It was like heroin. Competitive ladders, that's why I'm not excited about the Overwatch thing. Only because, like, I'll get sucked into a hole of playing competitive and trying to become the best that no one ever was. Pokemon. But,
we all saw that happening. No one stopped it.
It was real, yeah, it was real
none
slow.
None of us could stop it. It just kept happening.
No, but I mean, League of Legends itself has really done a huge thing for gaming. God, what was it? It was 2014. They sold out the Staples Center in less than 8 hours or something stupid. Mm-hmm. Like,
that sounds about right.
On a video game. And it was awesome. And I actually appreciated watching, like, the world tournaments and, like, the shoutcasters and that stuff. And I think I liked that because I've never been a sports guy ever.
Same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But, like, this I felt I had a connection to because I played it. It's like, oh, yeah, I played this game with my friends. Oh, I know what it's like to kind of play, like, that character or whatever and, like, to see people play it at the top level.
Oh, totally. No, when Overwatch League started broadcasting through Battle.net,
mm-hmm.
And through Twitch, I remember watching the first few games and watching the Shanghai, one of them, and their sniper was fucking amazing. Like, talk about, like, you know, 360 no scope, like that kind of shit. Like, jump in the air, zoom across the map, headshot with Widowmaker, one shot, one kill. And I'm like, who are these people that are doing this game this well? And it made me feel ashamed because I had been playing this game and I could never do that. And I like to think that I'm pretty good at, like, games in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, I don't know, I'm just going to pick a number, 12-year-old Asian child is just going to whip my ass. Like, okay, he gets paid, I don't know how much, hundreds of thousands probably, to do this professionally. And I work with boxes mainly. So, you know. It's mixed feelings all around. Like, I feel attached to the game because I play it, but then also, like, I am shamed at my lack of skill compared to little Asian babies on the other side of the planet.
Well, they only get paid if they win.
Oh, but they do
win. Is that how that works?
Well, so my buddy actually got recruited for HOTS. Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he actually went to Poland to go play for Fnatic. And, well, I mean, the game wasn't that... It depends on a couple things. How big is the game? Mm-hmm. And how often are you winning? Because some of these guys were not getting paid a whole lot. You know, they're living based off of sponsors. And they're setting up the whole arrangement for them to be living the game house where they're training and everything else like that. But, like, he got to one point where he's sitting there. He's like, I got recruited at the pro level, and now we're just kind of couch surfing right now. I'm going to go home to America where I have a house that I can live in. And so he did that, but he was there. He got recruited. He was
that's like super weird.
He was top of the top for League. You know, he was up higher in League of Legends. Problem is there's so many people trying to play League. He never really got recognized for that, but he got recognized for Heroes of the Storm.
Right.
He went to BlizzCon and everything.
Very nice.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, but, like, it's not like getting signed to, like, the Giants where it's like, oh, by the way, your life is made now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I stream. Because I know what my strengths are, and being good at a game, any game, is not my strength. Being entertaining is also not my strength, but there's a better chance of me accidentally doing that when I'm playing a game on stream than being good at it.
Yeah, you could just say we're all pretty mediocre, and we'll never be as good as those 12-year-olds that 360 no-scope on Overwatch. But god damn it, does it make the time pass?
It really does.
Speaking of making time pass, what has everyone been watching? I actually just had a really nice date on Saturday. I got to watch Captain Marvel. Now I know, Kiwi, you said you didn't get to see it, so we're not going to go into any spoiler stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
I super enjoyed it. I went and saw it at a movie tavern, which I don't know if you guys have any of those.
What?
Real quick, this is a movie theater chain. They're in a few parts of the company in the country. There's a couple out by me where it's a movie theater with a full restaurant and bar, and you have all the seats have a tray and a button that you can hit, so someone will come over and take your order or refresh your drinks or whatever throughout the movie, and they serve booze. So
we do not have them. They're all north of Philly and nothing east of Philly.
Okay. Yeah, so I've gone on multiple date nights with my wife, and I have gone. I had a date with another friend of mine. She and I, like, on Saturday, she and I, you know, went out to see this movie. It's probably one of my favorite date places because it's like all in one. You can go and you can get food, you can get drinks, and the movie prices are about the same. The food is like, you know, standard pub food pricing. It's about the same quality too. It's basic pub food. It's not, you know, anything crazy. It's not like super expensive.
Right. Yep. I'm seeing Exton, Flower Town, Trexler Town, and Providence mm-hmm. Town Center.
I mean, we've got something yep. similar. I think Edison has something.
Yeah, I know AMC is starting to do something similar. Some of their theaters have started converting over to like that sort of like restaurant movie hybrid.
Yeah, system. There's a couple. There's a couple of dine-in theaters in Jersey. They're few and far between, but they exist.
There's also one in Syracuse.
Okay.
So way the fuck up there in New York.
Mm-hmm. The Adirondacks. Yep.
And then I think that same company owns the Alamo Draft House, which is in Austin, Texas. Unless they sold it off.
They lost the Alamo.
Well, there's an Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, the same thing.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
So there's more than one.
So significantly closer to you guys.
Significantly.
Yeah.
Not so convenient that I'm going to do that, but way more so than Philly.
Yes.
So, anyway, I wanted to talk about... I just wanted to complain about this, and I have a feeling that Sean is going to have some intelligent answer about why these things are, because he's much more knowledgeable than I am about these things. But video card prices in gaming right now are absurd. It's not even like, yes, we had the Bitcoin mining craze. It's not even that mm-hmm. anymore. It's just like the MSRP for the new generation of the NVIDIA cards is like, what the hell?
Well, that started happening a few years ago with the 10 series cards. You know, even before the bit mining craze, those were already, you know, on the higher end echelon of pricing. And again, when you're talking about bleeding edge tech, that can happen, especially when it first comes out. But the problem was the bit mining did the opposite of what it would normally do, is after a couple months it would start to come down. Everything shot up, it skyrocketed. So I think the problem is you've got this weird combination of AMD and Intel and NVIDIA going, well, they're going to pay this anyway. So, you know, why? Well, like, yes, the prices are starting to come down a bit because the crypto mining just it doesn't make any sense to do it with those video cards anymore. Because that bubble kind of burst. A lot of people just started, after it started dropping, people got out of it, sold everything off. And they were making Bitcard-specific, Bitcoin-specific mining cards. They were basically like 1060s and whatnot with no video output, like things like that. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think the thing is some of it just kind of became, that's the economy we live in now. And because people were willing to pay for it for so long, we're kind of at the, well, you were paying for it like this a year and a half ago, and this is what we're asking for now.
No, I know.
And I think, but not the main, I think it's going to be...
Hmm? But not like their main market segment, just these... Literally the kinds of people who wait in line online to buy the new Jordans just to sell them on eBay. Like those, not gamers, Jordans flippers.
Well, yeah, but still, that's kind of like the same thing with video games. Like, one of the policies I don't like about GameStop is their trade-in system. Because if a game is really good and a lot of people buy, you know, that game the first time, that those sales and those numbers go to the metrics for that game. So those go back to the company, and they go, okay, well, you know, this did really well. We'll greenlight a DLC or a sequel or whatever. The minute that it gets traded in, or the minute it gets sold off privately, that doesn't count.
Right.
So, and it's the same thing with those video cards. Like, yes, like, okay, yeah, you can go and get, you know, a lightly used or a brand new that, you know, someone just gouged the price on. NVIDIA still has their money.
Right.
You know, they've already sold it at the price point they wanted to sell it at. And someone was willing to pay it. And you're right, it's not your average gamer that's going, oh yeah, I'll drop $2,000 on a 2080 Ti, but someone is, and then someone is using it or whatever, and then flipping themselves, and NVIDIA's already got paid out. You know, they got paid out the $1,500 they asked for, regardless of whether the second guy is getting it for $900 now or whatever. Right. You know,
I know. I just bought my 1080 Ti for $650, which is still above MSRP for the damn card.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it used.
Yeah, that's what, a 2 or 3 year old card now.
Yeah, I mean it's still a champion. I needed it for my ultra wide screen, 100%.
Yeah.
Without it, it just did. The performance was definitely a noticeable jump from the vanilla 1080 that I paid for, because when I was buying card, it was in the middle of the Bitcoin mining phase, so I paid $700. $700 for a brand new 1080, because I wasn't going to pay $12 for a Ti.
Mm. There was a point where buying a pre-built system, or buying buying a pre-built system, it was cheaper to buy the pre-built system, pull the card, put it in the system you want to build, and then sell off the parts, or just grab another cheaper card and throw it in and have a backup or a streaming rig or something.
Micro Center was refusing to sell the cards, or at least more than one of the cards, unless you bought a computer. I think they were out of stock, except for if you bought one of their custom builds.
Well, because, again, people were buying them and just gouging. They were just price gouging. You know, so, like, I could see coming in and buying one, maybe two of those cards straight out. Unless you're setting up, like, Rooster Teeth or something like that. You're not walking in there and buying six of the goddamn cards, you know? The likelihood of you setting up six dual card editing systems for like a YouTube channel is so low.
Yeah, no, you've already made it by then.
Yeah. Yeah, you've already got like, you know, you've got like a B2B business running. Like you've got a rep that you call. You don't go to Micro Center. You call your NVIDIA rep and go, hey, we need these cards. Can you drop ship them, please? Like,
yeah. I lucked out because for my birthday or Christmas or whatever, my brother actually bought me my 1070 Ti for this new system. So I ended up not having to pay like $500 for a video card.
Nice.
But everything else I put money into for the system, I'm still over $1,200 for everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've put close to Jesus.
Close to Jesus.
I think the computer itself was probably close to $2,000 total. especially with the $700 video card. And then again, it's definitely over $2,000 now that I rebought a video card. And then the monitor.
Oh.
And then my monitor was stupid expensive.
Yeah, those monitor, those were like $800,000 each.
I got it on sale for $650, baby.
Nice.
Nice. That's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
I put all my money into, now I built a pre-built because of the whole issue. But I've got an i9 with a 2080. But I'm going to have it for four. I'm going to have the thing for four goddamn years before it, you know, it's going to be 2 years before it really starts to sweat.
I think my rig is going to be okay too for a while as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
I throw a TI in it. You know, I'm good.
I was running my Lenovo laptop, my gaming rig, for 4 years before I had to upgrade. And it took a game like Fallout 76 to be too high for me to play it. I was playing Fallout 4 on that thing.
16 times the detail.
Yeah, no, it's an insane amount of stuff that they managed to put into a game that they made absolutely no effort into engineering at all. But, you know, I needed a new video card, I needed a new processor, I needed a new RAM, I needed a new everything. Everything had to be better. So with the...
You bought all of that, you bought all of those parts to play Fallout 76.
No. Fallout 76 was just happened to be the drop-off point for when my laptop was no longer play modern games.
Yeah,
that's the cutoff, because I was playing with you guys on the beta on my laptop.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was fucking trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was trash after you got the new computer.
Well, yes, that too. But like my game was running like trash, as well as the game being trash.
It's
the game always runs like trash. It doesn't matter what you could be running it on Watson, it's gonna run like trash.
It
because
runs real smooth on my system now.
I remember when I first bought this rig, where it's like I now have, you know, modern, not like, okay, maybe not bleeding edge, like you could infinitely spend money on PCs, right? But like I have a high end gaming PC now, and when I'm running games, I'm like, oh man. It's the game that's performing poorly, not my system, and that was such a weird experience.
Yeah. There are definitely games that are optimized poorly, and it's just like I have the most ridiculous amount of like overpower. I had that problem in Elite actually after the update today. My VR settings, which were perfectly fine last night before the update, I started having like weird sort of like smudgy tearing issues. It wasn't tearing, but it was like in VR, I run VR on Ultra, and it was like during certain high movement phases, it was getting smudgy. And I don't know how to describe it, but it was not something I experienced. So I had to go and mess with the settings for a solid 20 minutes to figure out that the update had messed up something. Because I'm like, okay, this game is 4 or 5 years old now. Now they're still updating it. It's still visually taxing. I'm running it in VR and Ultra, but still... This machine has the firepower to do it and then not even blink. So there shouldn't be all of a sudden what the hell's going on. And that's really what it was. It was just some of the settings. They took some options away and added some other options that I didn't need. So I just had to find the optimized Ultra settings for my VR for that. And it was just, it was exactly that sort of thing. Sometimes it's just, why did you guys do this? like Borderlands 2 is CPU bound, so when I have the system overclocked, I have to turn the overclock off to play Borderlands 2, because otherwise it runs like dog shit.
No, I was having that problem too. I had to change a bunch of the settings before it would let me run it at all. It would just lock up the second I run the game, and that's wild for a game that's basically old enough to vote at this point.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's got a couple more years. It's not old enough to be naked on Game of Thrones yet.
Oh, dear.
I haven't seen that episode yet, but I heard about the blowback. I heard about it. Like, everyone's like, oh, my God, how old is she? Guys, she's 22.
Like, everyone's freaking out. I'm like, yo. Like, yo, she's 18 in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's medieval fantasy. What the... what?
Yeah. I mean, like, here's the... I think part of it is probably the mental dissonance of just... When she started the show, 9, 10 years ago now?
Yeah, she was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, that was like her, that was her acting breakout. She was very much a little girl. So they've watched, a lot of people have had this weird experience for them, that they've watched this person and this character grow and evolve over effectively half of their life. And then all of a sudden, from what I understand, it's a kind of, it feels like a forced sex scene. Not like the sex is forced, but like, it just feels weird that suddenly this sex scene just kind of happens apparently the way it does.
I don't feel that way at all about it, but you haven't seen the episode.
I haven't seen it. This is just stuff I was reading that they're like, yeah, like it's just weird for her to suddenly, like there's this thing between these two characters, and then all of a sudden she's just like, take charge and like, okay, I'm going to bang you now. It's like, this is not verbatim, obviously, but
taking quotes directly from the script.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing.
So here's the reason why I don't necessarily buy into that mentality is the fact that what's her name, Hermione, the actress who plays Hermione.
Yeah, Emma Watson.
They had websites dedicated to a countdown for when Emma Watson turned 18. And she had been in those movies for like 37 years at that point. She was fucking child when she started shooting the Harry Potter movies. So right. I don't think that people necessarily give a fuck about that kind of thing. I think it's just in the context of this show because it is this show. Game of Thrones has a weird way of making people overreact to certain aspects, but also like they have fucked up plenty of times on their own, rightfully enraging lots of people. So I think it's that weird sort of dissonance between that. Because honestly, it's medieval fantasy. It's, you know, everyone's above age, all this other stuff. It's fucking HBO. I grew up watching softcore porn on HBO. You know, like, that's just what happens. And if people are going to turn around and say, like, oh, it's not okay because I watched her when she was a tiny child. Well, where were you back when fucking Harry Potter was doing all the same shit too, and then people were being absolute trash heaps then? People are trash.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I think it's just because I feel like Game of Thrones is a little more real time and is a little more widespread. Like, I mean, Harry Potter has that fandom now.
Harry Potter wasn't widespread.
Well, no, it does. It didn't that fandom grew over the last, what, almost 20 years, realistically. Whereas Game of Thrones, at least, and this is my assumption, my, you know, observation, is that only kind of really, that blew up much more recently in like history, I guess. And it's more like relevant and more widespread because of the way media is nowadays. Whereas, you know, you had the movies and you like not everyone went and saw the movies right away or read the books. And then like a lot of the fandom has lived with it for like 10 years now, 15 years now. Whereas Game of Thrones, I mean, I didn't get into it till, I don't know, four or five. I think it was season six. Was when I started watching it, and then I watched, see, you know, I watched all of it up to season six and then season seven. So I'm fairly new to it, obviously, but it was around. And I think just like the way, like the sphere of media sort of thing, like that, just like the way information disseminates nowadays, as opposed to say 20 years ago, I feel like it's just more on the forefront.
I mean,
so it's a little more in front of people who may not have been in the fandom in the time frame, like any fandom like that, in the time frame of, say, when Harry Potter was getting really big.
Right.
And, you know, and it was a much more slow burn.
I see what you're saying. And also, like, it's an interesting parallel because they're both book series that have been adapted to television / movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I had a very different experience of myself because when it first started showing on TV, there was a very strong schism between people who were, in the same way that there were people who were purist Harry Potter fans who did not want to watch the movies, there were people who didn't want to watch the HBO show. And it was the same for True Blood, and it was the same for Twilight, and it was the same for any series of books that got turned into movies or TV shows. People just really got defensive over the, you know, nostalgia or fandom or whatever. So there was definitely the same, I think the same level that there is today on it. It's just gotten to an sort of a mythical proportion because they sort of marketed it really well. Where I had not heard of Game of Thrones before the show, but I knew a lot of people who had read the books before the show. Harry Potter, I did not know. No, I knew about Harry Potter before the movies because the books were way more socially spread around. So I think that's the big difference for me. Well, because they were written for fucking tiny children, and it's not good literature. I don't care what anyone says.
But wait. You don't have to be a 1,200-page dry fantasy novel to be written for an adult. Not arguing that Harry Potter is adult literature. But, at the same point, trying to read fantasy novels, I've given up on them. That's why I settle for shows like Game of Thrones, where I get my fantasy kick, and I don't have to sit there and read for 4 pages about the insignia, some dude's shield, and what it means.
Right, so, yeah. Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that I didn't get into Game of Thrones for years because I did not realize it was medieval fantasy. Like I just knew so little about the show that the little bit I knew about it, it just seemed like a medieval drama, which was not exactly what I cared about. But then I found out there was a little more. You know, there were dragons and you know some medieval spooky shit going on.
Yeah, the magic's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah,
the magic's more subtle, but it's there. And when I found that out, I gave it another look, and then I really liked it.
It's a good counterpoint to Star Wars as a fantasy series, because it's very much mundane and builds up to, like, you know, fantastical, magical creature things. Whereas Star Wars kind of, it's a baseline, there's always the mystical aspect to it, and it's, like, ever-present.
The Force.
Yeah. Surrounds us, envelops us, grabs us. Does things to us in the night. Well, on that note, who wants to walk us out of this one?
Guy, you open, you do it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, whoever you are. And if you're being held against your will, please blink 3 times. We will not do anything because this is a recording. For, you know, myself, Sean, and Sebastian, thank you for listening. Check us out next time when we will also ramble on for too long about whatever.